I'm Jeremy Barron, and this is Colt Gennaro Chat, the only weekly English language podcast dedicated to Atletico Madrid and the official podcast of Into the Calderon, SB Nation's home for all things Atletico. My guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat is Barça Blaugrana's writer Renato Gonçalves. Renato Gonçalves is the guest on this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat. It's a Baronato episode, which means we're focusing on a little bit more than just Atletico Madrid, and in fact, a lot more than simply the exploits of Atletico. We are going to talk about fixing the Copa del Rey. It's a broken format, and even though there were two pretty big upsets on Wednesday, we both agree the Copa needs some revitalization, so to speak. We'll also talk about the Barcelona-Valencia partidazo last weekend, Atletico's advancement, and Barcelona's advancement as well, through to the next round of the Copa del Rey. We'll preview the weekend in which Barca hosts Celta and Atleti host Real Sociedad. And Renato takes a personality test. You're not going to want to miss that. Before we proceed, a disclaimer of sorts. My conversations with Renato are very wide-ranging in nature and do not center exclusively on Atletico topics. We don't spend a whole lot of time talking about exclusively Atletico in this episode. For Colt Gennaro Chat episodes more in that vein, I'm going to encourage you to refer to my conversations with Rob Walker, who appears on this program every Monday, my conversations with, among others, Carlo Valladares. He appears on this program every couple weeks or so. But if you proceed from this point, I feel pretty confident you will have as much fun listening to this edition of Colt Gennaro Chat as we had making it. Also, please leave a rating and a review of Colt Gennaro Chat on iTunes. And when people search Spanish football, La Liga, Madrid, Atletico Madrid on iTunes, Colt Gennaro Chat will be the first podcast that shows up. So please help us get more eyes and ears on the program. And head over to patreon.com/Colt Gennaro Chat if you're interested in becoming a patron, if you're interested in supporting the show, helping it to improve, helping it to grow, helping it to get better, and so on. We'll be back with Renato Gonçalves after this.
Which is the most important thing I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
On Sunday, of course, there was Barcelona-Valencia.
Yes.
And in the first half, Lionel Messi shot a ball from outside the box that Neto failed to control, and the ball went over the line, and obviously the goal was not called. And after the game, I saw everybody, literally everybody that I actually saw talking, was mentioning how they want VAR in football and how La Liga needs VAR. And I don't like VAR, okay? Because it's not that I don't like the video assistant referee, is I hate that people are calling it VAR. Because it's not his name. It's not called VAR. It's VAR. Okay?
So
that's very important. Do you call the NFL NFL? No, you call it the NFL. NBA UNBA?
It's not NBA.
No, you call it the NBA. Do you call the MLS MLS? No, you call it the MLS. So it's not VAR, god damn it. It's VAR. Okay? I hope we're clear after this, and I hope everybody listening to Baronato today, or whenever you're listening to this, you will say VAR, because if you don't, you are dead to me.
So you like VAR, don't you? So you want VAR to be introduced into La Liga, don't you?
No, I want VAR in La Liga. I don't want VAR, because there is no VAR. Doesn't exist. It's not his name. There's not a guy in a truck that everybody, hey, VAR, how you doing? There is no. It's VAR. I hope we're clear about that.
I think you made your point clear. That's brilliant.
Okay.
And your point.
I'm just joking, by the way. I don't care if we'll call VAR or VAR. It's just that I'm an idiot, and I like saying things the correct way, so that's all. It's not a real rant. I just wanted to get this off my chest in a place where it would be appreciated.
Well, it is very much appreciated. And I, for one, have never called it VAR because I am not a blasphemer. I don't know who calls it.
Yeah, you're not a sociopath.
Exactly. I'm not a monster. I'm not a psychopath.
Exactly. So I hope we're clear about that. Now we can go back to talking about whatever the hell we were going to talk about that I have no idea, because we never have any idea what we're going to talk about when we do this.
Well, so, you know, we can stick with Barca Valencia if you want, because I thought it was a really good game, and just the second time y'all have dropped points this season. But even then, you know, hard to argue that this hasn't been close to a perfect start for you guys. What did you make of the partidazo, other than the, you know, the missed call for the goal?
It was just, and I'm being honest when I say this, it was just really, really good to see a good Barcelona game for a while. It has been a while since we played well, so it was good to see that. It was a great game to watch. I had fun from start to finish, and it was really good to see how we just. There's a lot of talk of how dangerous Valencia are and how Barca's defense, it's not really that good, and it's just because of Ter Stegen. And then in the first half, we just destroyed Valencia. It was just that they had no opportunities on the counter. Their superior, mighty counterattack, they had no chances, and we just dominated the entire first half and should have gone to halftime 1-0 up. And there's no discussion, there's no debate. It should have been 1-0.
Right.
And then in the second half, Valencia came back because we got tired a little bit because we pressed them a lot at the start of the game. And Valencia are a really good team. But their only real chance, if I can recall, was their goal. And then we showed a really good attitude to come back into the game. And Messi was Messi and made the best of the season so far in La Liga. And great finish by Jordi Alba. And we would have won that game if balls that cross lines are goals, but that is not the case in Spain.
It's apparently not always the case, Renato.
Yeah, and I even tweeted this. Like, I don't know if you know, but the slogan La Liga uses in their commercials is "It's not football, it's La Liga."
Yep.
I guess if balls that cross lines aren't goals, then it's really not football. It's La Liga.
That is the most unintentionally accurate slogan I've ever heard for La Liga. It really is. Yeah.
It's not football. It's La Liga in literally every aspect.
It's very special in not necessarily in a good way.
Yeah. But seriously, it was a really good game to watch. I had a lot of fun. And it's been a while since I had fun watching Barca, and that's crazy because we usually are the team that entertains, but we've been the team that wins a lot and is a little boring while winning. So it was good to see us being really entertaining but playing well and still getting a really good result, because anyone that gets a draw at Valencia these days, it's getting a great result.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, Atleti got one. You guys got one. So going there and taking points, it's a big deal again because Valencia is so good again.
Yeah.
So,
Gonzalo Guedes. I mean, I'm in love with that guy.
Oh, me too.
He's absolutely incredible.
Yeah, unfortunately, he's going to be out a month now, but with injury. But he's been just absurdly good this season.
He was our best player on Sunday.
Yeah,
I mean, he was sensational. I love that kid. He's so good.
I think his touch was a little off at times, but he was so great. His overlapping runs with Gaia are just incredible. They have such good chemistry already down the left-hand side. And it's just amazing that the team that they built and how they're still hanging out around the top of the table, and how I think they are genuine title contenders, especially with Real Madrid not playing so well, with Atletico and the start they got off to. I think you got to consider Valencia as Barca's really only contenders right now.
Yeah, I think Real could get back into it.
Absolutely.
There's the Clásico before Christmas, and if they win that, then it's a wide open race again. But if after Christmas it's 8-10 points like it is now, then I don't think Real are in it. I don't trust Atleti as much. You're the expert in Atleti, obviously, but I don't trust them as much this season. And I think 6 months off for Diego Costa is going to be tough for him. So I don't think they're going to. I think Atleti are more dangerous in the cups than they are in the league, because I don't think they're consistent enough. It's like Barca last season. Barca, they were clearly better in the cups than leagues because and then the league because they just weren't consistent, but they could do the job in a cup game.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of you have actually played better in league and domestic games this season than they have in the Champions League. It's been kind of an interesting dynamic how I think they've actually been more consistent in La Liga this season, despite, you know, just, you know,
yeah,
7 wins and 6 draws. They haven't lost yet.
Yeah, that's what's crazy. And that's, I think, the frustrating. If I was an Atleti fan, that would be a frustrating thing for me. We haven't lost a game, but we have 6 draws and 7 wins.
Yeah, haven't lost a game.
You can't win.
And you're still
you can't win a league like that.
Yeah.
Just can't.
And you're 8 points off the top, even though you haven't lost, and even though you haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying, as I'm sure you can imagine. But with Barca, I've gotten a bit of a 2016-17 Real Madrid vibe from you guys. Now, before you jump down my throat, let me explain. I don't think you guys, I don't think you guys are always playing that well. I don't think you guys have been all that consistent, but you're grinding out results, and Valverde has made that defense really tough to beat, and also Ter Stegen's become world-class this season. But I'm getting a vibe that it's not always convincing, but it's always enough.
And you know what?
And that's fine. It works.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine, and I think we're going to get convincing when Dembele comes back, because in our best performances this season, Dembele was there. He played 3 games, and it was the best 3 games we had. In the 4th game, he got injured, obviously. And he's close to coming back. I think he might even play in the Clásico a few minutes. So I think when he comes back and is really match fit, match ready, mid-January, start of February, which is when the Champions League comes back, and the league, and it's the home stretch of the league, I think we might start to play better. But I don't think people appreciate just how hard Valverde's job is, because they lost Neymar. He was planning everything with Neymar, and then in the space of 2 weeks, Neymar decides to leave. And then he has to rethink his whole team. And then the guy who was brought in as Neymar's replacement and was playing really well gets injured. And then he has to find ways to keep winning and to keep getting results without one of the 3 best players in the world and a world-class replacement for that guy who's now injured. So people are too hard on Valverde. I think we are boring at times, but hey, I'll take it winning a league while being boring than being the mess we were in Luis Enrique's last season. I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, because Valverde is coming and just everything's much calmer. You know, he's not rocking the boat. It is a little, quote-unquote, boring at times, but it's getting the job done. And only 2 teams have taken points off Barca this season. They've both been draws. So
yeah, and one thing that people also don't appreciate is that the players adore him. He's been there 5 months, and everybody loves him. The dressing room is super happy with him. They play hard for him. They believe in what he's doing, and that wasn't the case with Luis Enrique. It was almost like, he makes us play nice, but okay, we don't like him, but we win a lot with him. So yeah, let's go until we're just tired of him. I don't think anybody's ever gonna get tired of Valverde, because he's a lovable person and everybody in the locker room likes him. So that's an important part to help develop a nicer style, if you can say that, that the players are into what he believes and what he's coaching them. So I think this is going to be good in the end. People are just jumping to conclusions way too earlier, but that's Barca fans.
That's beginning and end of it. That's Barca fans. So
exactly. We're just desperate for everything. And we're just really spoiled by Pep. Pep spoiled us. We think it's going to be everything's going to be like Pep's time, but it's not going to be. In the early 2000s, we celebrated going to the Champions League. We needed a bicycle kick from Rivaldo to go to the Champions League, and we're the happiest fans on earth. And now we have dropped 4 points in the first 13 games, and we're saying that everything sucks and everything has to change and everything is bad. Come on. Let's give the guys a break.
Yeah.
For God's sake.
Oh, goodness. So, let us move on from that and talk about the Copa del Rey. Now, I had a whole thing planned out for this, but then Aieta and Formentera went and ruined it yesterday. Because they actually, you know, pulled off upsets. But you guys beat Murcia, like, no problem. I think, what was it, 8-0 by the end of it?
Yep. It on aggregate, yeah. 8-0. Yeah.
And Atletico, since this is an Atletico podcast, we have to mention it. Atletico, I feel like we never talk about Atletico when I have you on.
We do. It's like 30 seconds, but we do.
But we do. Yeah, Atletico beat up on Elche 3-0 at the Wanda Metropolitano. Should have been 5 or 6-0, but you know, we say that a lot about Atletico. They should have scored more than they actually did. Jose Jimenez.
Hey, you already scored 5 at the weekend. You know what? 5 in consecutive games? What are you, a Barca fan?
Guilty as charged. But Jose Jimenez opened the scoring with a flying back post header. Then Fernando Torres got a brace because why not? He's playing a third division side. That's what he should do. Atleti with a lot of possession and a lot more shots. I think the final count was 31-3.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a really good performance. Of course, Simeone only called up first team players because they nearly blew the first leg. But hey, you know, you win and you advance. And Atleti are through to the Copa del Rey last 16 once again. But a couple other big teams didn't make it. Athletic didn't make it. Real Sociedad didn't make it, as Formentera went to San Mamés and beat them at the very end. And Yaeda came back from a 2-0 deficit at Anoeta to win 3-2.
Yeah, that's the shocking one
to me. I think it's amazing.
It's more shocking than Athletic because of the circumstances of the second leg. I was following Barca, obviously, and also was following the Man City game. But I was looking at the result, and Sociedad up to nil. I was like, yeah, one more big team over. I was already thinking, that's why Copa del Rey shouldn't have two legs, and it's too easy. And then, they lost? It's crazy.
I was stunned. They came back, and like I think Marca captured a screenshot of Juanmi mouthing to a teammate, does that mean they qualify? After they went up 3-2. Like, just, you could see the shock in their faces.
Yeah.
Just what happened to them, especially at home, which made it even worse. But I was going to ask you, I still will ask you, how to fix the Copa del Rey, but apparently it doesn't need to be fixed anymore because a couple big teams went down.
Nah, I don't think all due respect, seriously, I really respect Real Sociedad and Athletic, but it has to be Barça or Real knocked out, losing two legs, losing both legs for a change to be made.
There you go.
It has to be one of the big two. Even if Aleti goes down, it has to be Barça or Real to a third division team for it to be even discussed, let alone be changed.
I mean, we had Alcorcón do the job, you know, 8 or 9 years ago.
Yeah, but it has to be both. I think it has to be both over in the both same legs. Route the same year.
Oh, yeah, well, that's never going to happen.
That's why it's never going to change, because that's what it takes to change.
I mean, the current...
Nobody cares.
Nobody
cares about the Copa del Rey, and especially the Federation is fine with it.
No one cares about it before at least the quarterfinals. And even then, probably not. It's the semifinal before everyone starts paying attention, because then you have at least two of Real Madrid, Barca, and Atletico in the semifinal against you know, some other, you know, mid-table team that's decent. But the format, as Simeone was talking about it after the game yesterday, and he said, you know, the kickoff time is bad because it's, you know, almost 10 o'clock Madrid time when the game kicked off and one was there.
It's too late.
It's two legs against teams that have no shot at beating first division sides. And the format is broken and no one really cares about it. The Federation doesn't care about it.
Can I give you an idea?
Go right ahead.
because it's my favorite cup competition in the world, and I'm not biased because I actually don't like watching Brazilian football because it's terrible to watch these days. Although Grêmio won the Copa Libertadores.
Yeah, I saw that.
One of the best football playing sides I've ever seen here in South America. They're just amazing to watch. Arthur is going to be a superstar. He's the new Iniesta. Barca should sign him. I just love that team. Seriously, I just love that team. But the Brazil Cup has a formula that I love, and it's my favorite formula for any cup competition in the world, and I think you'll like it too. The first division teams, the real big teams, play the first two rounds away from home against weak teams from the third division below. Okay? If the big team that's playing away from home wins by two goals in that away leg, it eliminates the second leg.
Ooh, that's interesting.
It's perfect to me. Let's say Barca go to Murcia in the first leg. They win 3-0 like they did. That tie is over. Barca already through. There's not a second leg. If it's 1-0 Barca, there's a second leg. If it's 2-1, there's a second leg. If they win by two goals or more, the big team, the second leg is eliminated. And I honestly think that's a great idea because you still get the attraction for the away team, for the third division team. There's still a big team coming to your stadium. But for the big team, you know that you can take that first game seriously because if you win that 2-0, 3-0, 4-0, you're through. You don't have to play the second leg at home. Then nobody cares, especially if you won the first leg.
You're going to get enough revenue. You're going to get enough revenue from the other games that you don't need to worry about, you know, ticket sales and filling the seats for a second leg. It's not going to matter.
Exactly.
And I think that's great. It gives both teams a lot of incentive. It gives the away side, you know, the top flight side, to, you know, go out and win 5-0. And it gives the hosts a chance to keep it close and go away with a chance to advance against the big team. I like that.
And the home team gets big ticket sales because it's the only chance to see a Real Madrid come to town, a Barcelona come to town, a Leti, you know. I honestly think that's a good idea.
That's a really good idea.
There's still a good. It's not like a one goal difference. It's two goals. It's not that easy to win by two goals. So the host still have a realistic shot at going to the second leg, but the away team, the big team, has an incentive to kill the tie in that first leg, because teams that play the first leg, unless it's a really bad opponent, they don't care about that. Because if it's a bad opponent, you can kill the game off in the first leg and play under 17s in the second leg at home. But if it's kind of a good team from the third division, you don't care, you might get a draw. Yes, you're still going to win easily the second leg, but you don't really care about that. If you have stakes, if you have clear stakes, okay, if I win 2-0, or 3-1, or 4-0, or something, I'm going to go through. You're going to take that seriously. You might even take your best players.
Yep,
exactly. To that first leg.
Yeah, you might not just imagine it and fill it with U-teamers.
Yeah, imagine, I don't know, Messi never plays the early rounds, but let's say they take Luis Suarez to Murcia for that first leg. Imagine that. How awesome would that be?
Well, Suarez in this form, maybe not so incredible, but...
True, but like Valverde would think, okay, who's my best striker? Luis Suarez. If I went to a new qualifier, I'll take Luis Suarez. You know what I mean? It might make it interesting. Because I think if you make it just one leg without any extra incentives, I think it makes it a little bit unfair for the weaker team. Because they know they're going to lose and it's going to have to be an extremely incredible circumstance for them to advance. But if there's a chance for a second leg, but the stronger team can kill the tie in the first leg, it makes it a very interesting watch. So, I don't know, that's my idea for it, because you can still have second legs, because apparently the Spanish Federation likes to have the second legs anyway. So, why not make it possible to have the second leg, but give the stronger team the option to win the tie in the first game?
I really like that. I really like the incentive that it gives both sides, really. It makes it more competitive. At least on paper, it makes it a lot more competitive. I really like that.
And I mean, you can sell it to TV because nobody's is broadcasting this. The Copa del Rey is not shown in Brazil. It's just the final.
Really?
It's just the final. When it was Barcelona Atleti, I had to watch it in an illegal stream because it wasn't on TV.
Oh, Renato.
And that was what? That was what? The quarterfinals?
The semifinal. Even worse. It was the semifinal.
Fucking semifinal. Barça Atleti. And I couldn't watch it on TV.
Yeah. That's a problem. And it's tough to find it here, too. I mean, we you know, they have BN Sports. Copa del Rey has. Federation has a deal with BN Sports to broadcast Copa del Rey games here. But even then, they're not that easy to find. Especially the earlier rounds. Yeah. Unless you're a big enough team, hard to find.
That thing you just mentioned about the two goals in the first is just for the first couple of rounds. When you get teams for the same division, then I think you can't do home and away because it's two even teams.
Right, it's more competitive. They're in the same division, etc.
Yeah, but what I mean is, if you kill these early rounds earlier, there's more interest in the competition because it's already done, so you kind of already get excited for what's next, you know?
Yeah.
You don't have to watch, for instance, Barca won 3-0 in the first leg. You know it's over. You're not going to watch the second leg because you know it doesn't matter. It's a friendly.
Yeah, Barca fans aren't even going to go to Camp Nou and watch the second leg, which they didn't.
Yeah.
And even
Wanda
Metropolitana yesterday, no one was there because the kickoff was late and everyone knew Atleti was going to win, even after the first leg was 1-1.
Exactly.
I mean, this competition has become, other than like Yaheda and Formentera, it's just become so predictable. And I would just do away with, at least for the first couple rounds, I would just do away with the second leg entirely. I mean, as much as I love that the two goal advantage rule, I would just do away with it entirely until you get only La Liga teams in there, or you get a second division, a Segunda team, or a Segunda B side lucky enough to make it to the quarterfinal. The second leg is just unnecessary up until a certain point in the competition, like the quarterfinals.
Yeah, but you know what you could do too? Do what England does with the FA Cup. The lower teams play each other for a while, and then the big teams come for one game away from home, or at home, I don't know how the draw works. But like, the teams from the Premier League and the Championship only enter in the third round.
Yep.
The teams from lower leagues keep playing each other until the second and first division teams enter in January. You could get the La Liga teams to only enter in January, you know, and let everybody else play until it's like the round of 16 or the quarterfinals. I think round of 16 is more fair. But like round 32 for the La Liga teams, it's pointless.
I mean, you got to make sure you get all of them in there, I guess. But it is, because it doesn't give these smaller sides a lot of time in the sun, so to speak.
Yeah.
It just doesn't before they,
I don't know,
they get...
It's just really hard to fix the Copa. Nobody cares, and I don't think the Federation cares about people not caring. So.
No, and the Copa used to be so fun because it was teams other than the big two, the big three would get to the final every year. Like, you'd have a Zaragoza in the final. You'd have Sevilla making the final. You'd have Betis making the final. And now it's very lopsided. It's very uneven and unfair, frankly, for a lot of these teams. And I think it's got to be fixed.
And to be honest, as a Barca fan, I'm exhausted because we've won this three times in a row.
Well, it must be so hard for you.
I honestly want us to get knocked out. I hope we get a really tough team in the next round and get knocked out. I'm not going to be angry if we get knocked out anyway because we've won it three times. And we don't have to play every single midweek in January and February, which is the toughest part of the season. So, I mean, I don't mind it, to be honest.
Yeah, it must be so hard for you being a three-time defending champion in the cup competition.
Yeah, especially when it's like the Copa. Well, which doesn't matter at all.
Until, like, the semifinals, and even then, it's hard to watch. Apparently, it's very difficult to watch the semifinals.
Yeah, in Brazil, you don't. It's that simple.
Unbelievable. Why am I not surprised?
And let's be honest, the winning the Copa del Rey only cares if you get a treble, because then it's a treble. Because you need the Copa del Rey for the treble. But if you win only the Copa del Rey, like Barca, they didn't even celebrate the players to show how much they just didn't care.
Yeah, because you've already won it twice and you didn't win anything else.
Yeah.
So that's kind of... I think that's a good point.
Madrid just won La Liga the week before, and they were going to play the Champions League the week later. So why the hell would Barca celebrate a Copa del Rey title?
Yeah, I think that's as good a commentary on the status of that competition as any. It's just... It's boring.
Yeah.
And it should be a lot more fun, because there are a lot of good teams to watch here. But it could be a really good advertisement for the Spanish game, but it's not. I mean, I know that it's easy to say we saw promise on Wednesday because of the two huge upsets, but I think everyone knows that we're not going to see those again, at least to that scale. We're not going to see them, and that's why it was special to see them yesterday, because we know that there aren't going to be changes. There's not going to be reform here, even though there desperately should be.
Yeah, it's once in a million years.
Yeah.
Two first division teams knocked out in the same night. And again, I'll go back to what I said in the very beginning. It only will change if it's Barca and Madrid knocked out on the same night. Then people will notice.
Will it take a Barca or Madrid at full strength, do you think? Or will it take just Barca and Madrid getting knocked out no matter who they play?
Yeah, just them getting knocked out just by a third division team on the same night. I think it's enough. I don't think people will think about, oh, but Messi wasn't playing or Ronaldo wasn't playing. They will think, no, they shouldn't be knocked out.
And you think it'll take someone beating them home and away. And it'll take, you know, because obviously with the Cheryshev a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I don't know if beating them home and away, but just... What I mean is that same night, the two knocked out at home by third division sides, it's a huge thing. And it's so huge that people will take notice and maybe they will look to change it, because they can't risk it happening two years in a row. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I wonder if Fuenlabrada had been able to hang on long enough on Tuesday. I wonder if they had... if they've been able to hang on with what happened there, but of course they didn't. That was a good game for a while. Real Madrid just looked kind of shook.
I would say funny, but it's depressing, really. Gareth Bale comes back from injury in that game and looks awesome and gets injured in that same game.
Yeah, now he's going to miss Athletic at the weekend.
Yeah, he's just... I'm so depressed for that guy, because he's actually one of my favorite players, full stop, and he can't get healthy.
No. I think we both feel bad for him, and neither of us is a Real Madrid fan.
Yeah, don't need to be.
No,
When they got a guy that talented,
who just can't stay healthy.
Cannot get healthy. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah, it really is. I do actually feel kind of bad for him, but... Fuenlabrada. I was going to say something about them. Oh, they have a stadium named after Fernando Torres. I mean, I don't know how you can dislike them. How can anyone dislike them?
I do.
What do they do to you? I do,
because Fernando Torres is horrible to Barca, so...
Hey, watch your mouth. He's barely a footballer anymore. Watch your mouth.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm
He did score two goals Wednesday, though.
Against the third division side.
Yeah, we don't mention that part. And at Letty Twitter, we don't mention that part.
Oh, got it.
But Atletico did not concede a goal in November. That's a fun fact. And it looks recently like they're starting to regain a little bit of form, but, you know, in the nick of time, because obviously... they can register Costa and Vitolo in about 5 weeks' time. Although Vitolo did get hurt Wednesday. So that's worth keeping an eye on. Apparently, it's a hamstring problem. He's going to be out for a month, maybe a little more than a month.
When he comes back, he'll be ready to make his Atleti debut.
Yeah, they're hoping to match up the timing. They're hoping he's back January 7 against Getafe. That's when they're hoping he'll be able to make his debut.
Is that the Costa debut too, or is it earlier?
Depends. I think they have a cup game before that game. And I think that cup game would be on the 3rd or the 4th. That's probably when Costa would debut.
Make a little cameo.
Yeah, that's their first league game of 2018.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The latest on Vitolo is that it's a hamstring injury, like not a tear, though, because that would probably put him out for the year. He looked fine when he was walking out of the stadium yesterday on Gran Canaria. Just what else can go wrong for Las Palmas this year? Just never fails to amaze me how bad they've been this year.
It's insane, and how good they were last year.
Just the disaster
it has been.
I don't even want to watch them anymore. It's that bad.
Yeah, it's sad. But hey, they're gonna get Paco Jiménez. Maybe that helps.
Oh, is it done? I know it was rumored. Is it done?
I think he's done. I don't think he's done, but he's the favorite.
Oh man, if they get Paco in there, oh man, I'm so in. He can save them. It might be like 5-4 every game, but he can save them.
He's like the, oh god, I can't believe I'm gonna say this, but he's like the Big Sam of crazy football.
The Big Sam of crazy football.
Saves teams from relegation by actually playing football and wanting to score goals. That's what he does.
We only need Spain to appoint him, and we only need him to get entangled in a massive scandal. Then he'll be Big Sam.
Oh, God.
Lopetegui out. Jiménez in.
Lopetegui out. Paco in. But hey, Lopetegui, we're just keeping you away for 60 days until Paco gets in a scandal. Then you're coming back. We're just doing a little play.
Renato, are you a fan of personality tests?
No, but let's do it anyway.
I found one a couple weeks ago. I took it at work. I'm gonna send it to you in the chat right now. I want you to take just a few of the questions. You don't have to answer all of them right now.
Okay.
But I'm sending you the link right now, and it's free, so you know it won't take you long. But I'm very curious as to your response to some of these questions here.
Okay, let me just open this thing. Okay. I like the phrase. It's so incredible to finally be understood.
Isn't it, though?
I don't know. I haven't.
Feel like my world has opened up after taking this test. Not really, but you know, people love this thing.
Should I press take the test?
Yeah, let's see what you got.
Oh God!
Really get deep here. Really dig deep here.
At the end of it, it's gonna be like you're Antoine Griezmann or something. Is that an Atleti themed personality test or something? I don't know.
Just a regular one. I gotta find an Atleti themed personality test though. That would be astounding.
Okay, so should I like talk myself through this or no? What? I don't know. I know what you want me to do. I have no idea what's going on here.
Okay, well, answer a few of the questions or read them out loud. And answer a few of the questions.
Okay.
Did you see how much sense they make to you?
You often get so lost in thoughts that you ignore or forget your surroundings. No, because I don't have that many thoughts. You try to respond to your emails as soon as possible and cannot stand a messy inbox. I don't respond, but I delete all of them, so yes.
Okay, answer. I cannot stand like a full inbox. Like if I have more than like 60 unread emails, like I'll freak out.
No, I read all of my emails. I respond to some, but my inbox is always empty because I have markers that I send all my emails to, so my inbox is empty. Anyway, you'll find it easy to stay relaxed even when there is some pressure. Hell no. You do not usually initiate conversations. Yes, I don't. You rarely do something just out of sheer curiosity. I agree. I hate new things. You feel superior to other people. Hell no, I'm superior to... I'm inferior to myself.
How is that possible?
Dude, get inside my brain. being organized is more important to you than being adaptable. I'm not organized or adaptable. I don't know what else.
Neither. Here. Just neutral.
I don't go neutral here. you're usually highly motivated and energetic. Depends on how much Diet Coke I've drank.
Word. I prefer... you guys have Coke Zero in Brazil?
Hell yeah.
Coke, yeah, the best. Coke Zero is my jam.
Winning a debate matters less to you than making sure no one gets upset. Yes. You often feel as if you have to justify yourself to other people. I do. Your home and work environments are quite tidy. no, they're not.
I'm going to say that's a no.
You do not mind being at the center of attention. Wait, what does that mean? That I like being the center of attention?
You don't like it, but you don't hate it. You're okay with it.
No, I'm not okay with it.
Okay, perfect. Well, there you go.
You consider yourself more practical than creative. I guess I'm a little creative. Well, just a little bit. People can rarely upset you. No, they can easily upset me. Especially if they're Real Madrid fans. Your travel plans are usually well thought out. I don't travel. Is it often difficult for you to relate to other people's feelings, including my own? Yes. Your mood can change very quickly. Of course!
Comes with the territory.
I'm responding to all of this, by the way. you said a few, but I really like this. In that discussion, truth should be more important than people's sensitivities. I don't understand that question, but I'm going to agree. You rarely worry about how your actions affect other people. No, I do worry. Your work style is closer to random engine energy spikes than to a methodical and organized approach. Yes. You're often envious of others. No. I don't have that. An interesting book or video game is often better. The circles are not big enough here to agree.
The circles aren't big enough?
No, I wish there was a big old circle for me to agree. Being able to develop a plan and stick to it is the most important of every project. I don't even like thinking about projects, so I disagree. You really get carried away by fantasies and ideas. Yes, especially Dybala at Barca.
Yes, and Sampaoli at Barca. Remember that one?
Yeah, no, that guy sucks. you often find yourself lost in thought when you walk in nature. There's not even nature where I live, so no. If someone does not respond to email quickly, you start worrying if you said something wrong. Definitely. I'm a drama queen.
I'm a sassy drama queen.
Yes. As a parent, you're ready to see your child grow up kind and smart. Agree. You do not let other people influence your action. I wish. When you sleep, your dreams tend to focus on the real world and its events. No, I once dreamed I was having dinner with Messi.
What did you have for dinner with Messi?
Pizza.
What kind of pizza?
Oh, God, I don't remember.
You had pizza, though. You remember you had pizza?
Yes, it was pizza with Messi, and his wife was really nice to me.
There you go. But,
she's a faithful one. Next. It does not take you much time to get involved in social activities at your new workplace. I don't have a workplace because I work in my room, so I can't answer that.
I mean, same here. Like, I usually work in bed.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's great.
Yeah. They're better than me because I work in a chair, so it's not as comfortable.
Oh, you have a chair. Wow, what's that like?
Yeah, it's nice. I bought a new one. It's nice. By the way, this is a great Coach on Our Chat episode, everybody.
This is fantastic. This is great content.
Yes. You are more of a natural improviser than a careful planner. Yes. Make up stuff as they go along. Emotions control you more than you control them. That's very deep, but I agree.
It's very deep. It is, though. I tell you, this thing that goes deep, you can probably stop, but this thing goes deep, man.
You know, enjoy. Okay, but I want to get to the end.
I think we'll be here for like another 20 minutes.
What happens in the end here of this thing?
Well, they tell you like what kind of personality you are. They have like 16 different types. If you want to take it, for our listeners, if you want to take it, it's at 16personalities.com. If you want to take it, go take it there. But it'll tell you what kind of personality. It'll give you like a really, really in-depth review of what they think your personality type is.
Logic is usually more important than heart when it comes to making important decisions. I don't make important decisions. I ask my mom.
Does she think with more logic than heart?
I don't know. I just ask her and she tells me. I don't care how her process.
That's neutral for you.
Keeping your options open is more important than having a to-do list. Yes. Your friend is sad about something or more likely to offer emotional support than suggest ways to deal with the problem. I don't even talk to him. I hate this test.
I thought you loved it.
No, but it's depressing and now.
It does get a little...
As it goes on, it starts to get depressing.
It does get depressing a little bit at the end. It gets really deep.
So I will not answer this thing in the chat. Definitely not.
Well, you got to push through at this point.
Results.
All right, here we go. Drum roll.
Oh, God. 76% observant. 72% feeling other than thinking. Tactics. 74% prospecting instead of judging. And identity. Oh, God. 88% turbulent.
I'm only 71% turbulent.
Good Lord, what am I?
Good Lord, what am I?
What are you doing to me, Jeremy?
What personality?
Adventurer. Well, I don't like adventures. What the hell is this?
Like adventures. okay, let me see what they said. Adventurer. Flexible and charming. Always ready to explore and experience something new.
Oh, God. I'm telling you, this test is nuts.
Does that sound at all like you? I think it does.
No. What? Say it again.
A flexible and charming artist. Always ready to explore and experience something new.
Oh, God. I'm not charming. I don't like exploring something new. I watch this. I'm watching Friends for the 11th time. I only watch Barca and Man City games. I don't watch others. No, I do, but not a lot. I don't like new music. I'm listening to the same Adele album for the fourth time. This is wrong.
This is...
you've just wasted 15 minutes of people's lives with this BS personality test that people should never, ever, ever try. Because they will get depressed and they will get inaccurate information about themselves. And now I have to go to therapy. So thank you very much.
Oh my God. Such great content. They compared you to Michael Jackson.
Well, I am black, so... I was born black. And I do a sick monologue.
Should we go back to talking about football, or should we just not?
Oh, yeah, unless they're gonna send me a link to another thing that's gonna depress the hell out of me.
I have you on record as saying you were enjoying it.
Yeah, no. I said very clearly I enjoyed the beginning, and then I didn't enjoy it anymore. It's on record that I enjoyed the start, not the end.
They think you're charming and you live in a colorful, sensual world, inspired by connections of people and ideas.
Sensual? Have they ever met me? Oh my god. You should stop doing this, seriously. Close that tab now.
Hold on. They say the biggest challenge you'll face is planning for the future.
That's true.
Okay, see? And
I have no idea what I'm going to do tomorrow, let alone five years.
Do you want to talk about romantic relationships, or should we really just go back to talking about La Liga?
Man, I mean, as far as I know it, this is an Atletico Madrid podcast.
Oh my god, you're right. This is an Atletico Madrid podcast. Dear god, how far off course have we gone?
I think you forgot that we're recording a podcast here, honestly. Okay, how do you have this? If I did it.
Well, there's like a personality. Oh, there's like a tab.
There's a code.
Personality.
There's a code. Types. I saw that there's a code next to Adventurer. You're looking at the code?
There's a tab at the top of the page that says personality types. You click on it.
Oh.
Okay, so you guys have Celta Vigo this weekend.
Who has Celta Vigo? What is Celta Vigo? What is you guys? I have no idea what you're talking about anymore.
This personality test really screwed you up, didn't it?
Yeah. No.
Meanwhile,
I'm looking for myself here.
Atletico are playing Real Sociedad, who are fresh off an embarrassing Copa elimination and will probably be a little upset. They will not have Diego Llorente. He's been suspended. Alvaro Odriozola, however, will be able to play after one of his yellow cards was rescinded from their draw against Las Palmas. So he's becoming one of the top right backs in La Liga at 20 years old, so he'll...
Oh my god! They compare me to Britney Spears! What is this? What the hell is this?
You are the Britney Spears of Colchonero Chat. That's what that means.
Oh my god! Okay, keep going.
I don't really have anything else after that. Atletico are gonna win 2-1. I'm going to go 2-1.
Okay.
Barcelona-Celta, what do you got?
2-0, because that's all we do.
2 or 3-0.
Home or away, win 2-0. Doesn't matter. Unless it's like unless it's a big game or usually draw or win by 2-1 or something. The rest of La Liga is just 2-0. That's how it goes.
I'm not feeling too comfortable with a 2-1 prediction for Atleti and La Real, but I'm going to stick with it. I think both teams are going to score.
I think Sociedad will score more than once. I do. They may concede a lot, but they scored too much.
Can I call you the Brazilian Britney Spears now?
I don't know.
See?
Yes.
who else? They compared you to Kevin Costner, too.
Yeah, that Avril Lavigne, I like that, because I like her.
Michael Jackson, Britney Spears.
Lana Del Rey is the worst.
Do you want to know about your workplace habits?
Okay.
In the workplace, adventurers seek out positions that give them as much wiggle room as possible to do things their own way. Button-down environments that revolve around traditions are unlikely to appeal to adventurers.
Yeah.
They say you're spontaneous, charming, and genuinely fun to be around. You just
want... I am not charming! Stop saying that word!
It's not me! I'm just reading what they're saying! Adventurers just want a chance to express those natural qualities and to know that their efforts are appreciated.
My god. I'm not charming. That's like one of my greatest qualities, that I'm not charming. So... Stop saying that.
Well, they say it again on the page.
Oh, God. So ignore it. Just pretend I didn't read it, okay?
I'll just, beep it out. Well, they may exhaust themselves if their role requires an excessive amount of social interaction. They are otherwise quite bleeping and have excellent networking skills.
Oh, God. Okay.
Okay. I think we're done.
I'll go back to Madden now.
I think we're done. Okay, that was Renato Gonçalves, the Brazilian Britney Spears. You can follow him on Twitter at RenatoDSG. You can follow me on Twitter
I'm gonna change my Twitter handle. It's gonna be at Renato Britney Spears.
You can follow me on Twitter at JB Baron, that's JBBEREN. Follow Into the Calderon at Into the Calderon. Follow Blaugranas Barca at Follow Barça Blaugranas at Blaugranas Barça. I always mess that up. You can also like ITC on Facebook at facebook.com/IntoTheCalderon. Please subscribe to Cult Gennaro Chat on iTunes and leave a rating and a review. Gets more eyes and ears on the podcast. In addition, check out our Patreon page at patreon.com/CultGennaroChat. Lots of cool benefits, lots of rewards. We're going to be updating them during the holidays, so be on the lookout for that. All right, adios.